Morning, everyone. I'm here to tell you what I think's going to happen in the next year to 18 months, 2 years. I got no idea. I mean, that's a fact. There are so many moving parts at the moment, it is very difficult to tell what is going to happen with certainty. So what I'll run through is some of the fundamental trends that will be impacting upon the outlook going forward. And probably what we need to do is reflect on what we experienced or what we said last year. Probably the only thing that actually held true in 2018, these statements from last year, is the last point. That is that financial volatility continued to mask robust fundamentals for the Western Australian economy throughout 2008. And I'll come back to that at the end of this chat. The key issue now, obviously, is not managing against capacity constraints in the economy, but actually managing some surplus capacity. So let's have a look at the rest of the world first. And this is where, I guess, we get our read in terms of what's in prospect for the WA economy. You can see here from this chart the dramatic fall in industrial production, which is the orange line, and more particularly in trade, world goods trade. And part of that is going to be overstated by the fact that people couldn't get trade finance during this period. So that'll bounce back a little bit. But you can see there that long period of growth since about 2003, very strong growth, suddenly coming to a very ugly and abrupt end. As an example, in the year to January 2009, China's exports fell by 17.5%. More pronounced, its imports decreased by 43.1% over that year. What did the world do? Well, it cut interest rates all over the place. We now have USA and Japan with cash rates of 0.25%. Money is free. Fantastic. There's none out there, though. You can't get it. The price is very low, but it's very difficult to get your hands on it. In the UK, cash rates are down to 2%, which is the lowest for some time. In fact, the last time they had rates of 2%, it had a very profound policy impact on the UK economy. In fact, the impact it had, we know, as the Industrial Revolution, because rates haven't been that low in the UK since 1692. But it worked back then. So let's, fingers crossed. And Australia has also seen substantial fall in rates, and today another Reserve Bank board meeting. The key issue, I think, or the key conclusion here, is monetary policy has probably gone as far as it can in offering stimulus. So fiscal policy kicks in. And here you can see the large deficits that are projected across the world, both in the advanced economies and the developing economies. Interestingly, the advanced economies are deteriorating much more rapidly than the developing economies in terms of their budgetary positions. As well as fiscal stimulus, there have also been policy responses to deal with the causes and also, disturbingly, some of the symptoms of the crisis through the financial crisis through last year. Some of the causes definitely need to be addressed in terms of the indebtedness and level of bad debts, particularly throughout the US financial system. And some of the disturbing policy responses have been a move back to protectionist type measures to prop up industries that structurally haven't adjusted in time, in pace with the global economic conditions. So we will continue to see, I think, a global, if you like, a degree of desperation to preserve ailing and lesser productive industries. And that is a concern, because you can only do that for so long, and at the end of the day, it's not the most productive use of resource. Which leads to a key issue in terms of, well, what are we looking at here? Are we looking at a U-shaped recession where we kind of go in. We experience some poor conditions for a period of time and then gradual recovery? Or is it something more than that? I think probably in the world context, that really depends on what happens in the US and what happens in terms of the response of the US to the need for regulatory reform of the financial system. It's a very similar circumstance to Japan in the early 90s. And if you recall, Japan didn't reform its system and hasn't really posted much by way of growth ever since. If the US doesn't respond with system reform, then it's going to be an L rather than a U in terms of the shape. What does that mean for growth? Well, you can see there the IMF has almost monthly through the end of last year knocked back its growth, world growth forecasts, and it looks like further downward revisions are likely, and it's fair to say that in 2008, certainly in 2009, the world economy is unlikely to grow significantly at all. In terms of WA, a little bit better in terms of prospect. It looks like, if we look at our top 13 trading partners, they should post growth of around 2 percentage points, which is a long way short of where they were 12 months ago, 18 months ago, but it's certainly continued growth, and that's what's the key to maintaining employment growth in the state. So bringing that back locally, I'll touch on, it's hard to talk about economic conditions without talking about some policy issues, hence this next slide. The key to this next slide, one of these is bigger than the other. One of these has far greater muscle mass than the other. And when it gets serious down at the dog park, one of these, Brutus, the bigger one, takes the lead and takes the run, and Greaser, the little one, new addition to the family, provides very enthusiastic backup. And that's pretty much where we stand in terms of policy settings dealing with the national economy at the moment, with the Commonwealth providing the muscle and the grunt behind fiscal stimulus. And it has the capacity to do that. And it has the automatic stabilisers to do that. The state, aka Greaser, is providing the support role in partnering with the Commonwealth in delivering that fiscal stimulus. Another key issue from this slide is one of these dogs has a tail, the other doesn't. There's nothing after that. That's just... So in terms of policy stand, monetary policy has done its work, and I think it's largely run its course. Fiscal stimulus, the Commonwealth has the right settings. It has the muscle. It has a budget of around $220 billion per annum compared to the state at around $20 billion. So that's where the grant's got to come from. Where does that leave the state? Well, the state's role is to partner with the Commonwealth in delivery in areas like housing, and the state has already brought forward housing expenditure to provide stimulus. We are also, through the COEG space, dealing with stimulus through expenditure on schools, roads and so on. And importantly, the state continues to have a key role in providing stimulus to reform to ensure that the economy is as well positioned as it can be when things start to recover. That is, our regulatory systems are as efficient as they can be. Our approval processes are as efficient as they can be. Our tax structures are as low as they can be. And importantly, our infrastructure is there and ready to go and isn't a capacity constraint. That's power, water, roads, ports. Just one more point on who does the heavy lifting in this space. This is a projection of the net debt to revenue ratio for both the state and the Commonwealth. The state is the light blue line, that's at mid-year review. The Commonwealth is the orange. The orange includes the $42 billion stimulus package. When you look at it in this context, it's actually not that bigger contribution. I'm not advocating for more, but in the context of where the fiscal capacity is in this country, it's certainly with the Commonwealth. So now let's turn to the state. Well, it's undeniable that the WA economy is already being affected. the financial crisis and all the financial bad news that we saw through last calendar year is now flowing through to the real economy, to real jobs, to real sales numbers. The news will get worse before it gets better. In fact, 2009 will be the year for bad news in this respect. We've had bad report after bad report in financial terms. Now we're going to get it in the economic parameters. Having said that, the fundamentals for the Western Australian economy remain very sound. Coming to why it's going to hurt, well, particularly in WA, we benefited from a high concentration in industry and mining, exports far in excess of the national proportion in terms of the structure of the economy, and same with business investment. The factors that drove those parameters through very strong growth are the exact same factors that will see them dive in the current year. Having said that, our business investment is at still phenomenal levels. Why did December investment grow? Well, it's pretty obvious. There's a lot of big projects out there that are still spending money. And that will continue for some time. In fact, if you look at the pipeline of engineering construction work yet to be done, it is substantial. It takes around 2 years on average for this work to flow through. So we'll see this engineering construction work flow through over the next 12 months to 18 months, and that will sustain activity. Key question is, when that's flown through, what comes after it early next year, i.e. early 2010, through to middle of 2010. So the underlying spend there and the underlying activity is going to be quite positive still. But it's not going to feel like that. What we benefited from through the boom and what made it so spectacular was the terms of trade. The terms of trade index for Western Australia in the 5 years to the September quarter 2008 increased by 62%. That means the amount of stuff that we could import for every ton of stuff we exported increased by 62%. That's going to reverse over the next 12 to 18 months as commodity prices start to come off. So we will see nominal growth, commodity prices coming off, just touch on that. We are assuming a fall in iron ore price of around 25% in the next contract and around 10% thereafter. So we're looking at a period of falls. Having said that, you can see from the chart, it still takes it back to pretty high levels in terms of price after we experienced increases of around 85%. Oil has already fallen. July last year, anyone remember what the oil price was? $145 a barrel. And today, it's down 50, 60 a barrel. So that you can't have those sorts of changes and not have an impact on incomes. And this is where it flows through. Gross state product growth in nominal terms. We were growing at around 16%. That will fall to more like 4% over the next 12 to 18 months. Real GSP growth in 2009-10, we're expecting growth, modest, but nonetheless growth, of around 1.5%. What does that mean for jobs? Well, it's going to be a tough market, there is no doubt about that, but our current forecasts are that we, in Western Australia, will still generate an additional 15,000 jobs in 2009-10. So the economy will still continue to generate new jobs. Doesn't mean there won't be jobs lost in some parts and shifted elsewhere in the economy. That's inevitable, and there'll be some pain in that, obviously. And the unemployment rate will still increase because that 15,000 is not enough to keep pace with population growth. So there will be pain in the unemployment levels, but jobs will still continue to be created in Western Australia. Challenges ahead as well, in terms of the implications for state finances. At the time all of this is coming off the boil and our revenues are coming off the boil, the Commonwealth Grants Commission processes are pinging us for all the good times we had 3 years ago. It's because they're systems and processes have a lag of between 5 and 7 years. It's an issue that we're currently raising with them, just in case you're ever concerned that Treasury officers aren't working hard enough. We sent our last submission to the Grants Commission, submission number 22, into their review process. I think the email I got was 2:34 a.m. yesterday morning. We've got 4 submissions left to go into the 2010 review process, all around trying to get better recognition of the cost drivers that impact on the state. Revenues for the state, this is a fairly familiar story, I think. We are on our transfer duties, so property market generated revenues, down 60% on where we were a year ago. 60% down. What does that mean? It means our surpluses dwindle rapidly, and I think development since the mid-year review suggests that this profile has probably been brought forward a little bit. And that means debt goes up pretty rapidly. We are forecasting debt to increase to just under $17 billion over the next 3 to 4 years, equating to 60.9% of revenue. This is an increase of $13 billion from June 30 last year. So June 30 last year, we were at $3.6 billion in the level of state debt. That is going to rise over the next 4 years to $16.7 billion. That is a very dramatic increase, and in part reflects the fact that the state, in response to capacity issues in the economy, was already spending a large amount on capital investment, infrastructure investment, and will continue to do so. So if people are looking for stimulus in terms of capital spending, it's already out there, and those debt numbers reflect that. An interesting question. I think Peter Kerr in the West wrote an article a week or so ago about where did the surpluses go. Well, here's the counterfactual. If we'd spent them all, say we ran surpluses over the last few years of around $300 million instead of the $2 billion and thereabouts. So we spent everything. This is where we would have ended up. We would have had, by 2012, net debt of just under $30 billion. That would amount to around $500 million in additional interest expense every year for the state, $500 million. And if revenue remained the same as forecast, by 2012-13, the net debt to revenue ratio, remember the target is 47%, we're currently at 60.9. If we'd spent all the surpluses, the net debt to revenue ratio would have ended up at 170.2%. To service this level of debt, the total public sector would have required $1.8 billion per year, $1.8 billion just to service debt. So there you go, just in case anyone was wondering where the surpluses went, it actually went to improving the state's balance sheet and ensuring that when stuff did, quite frankly, go to crap, we'd be in a good position to be able to weather that. And I think the state's finances are in a very good position by virtue of that strategy. But we still need to do more, because we cannot continue to grow expenditure in the state at the rate we have done. And there will be plenty of this to come as well. I think this was from Saturday's West, around cuts in the health system and what that means. And that's a debate around the 3%. In the context of expense growing at more than 10% for at least 3 years in a row, 3% is doable, but more importantly, it's essential. And it's 3% that should be generated by efficiency, not by taking easy measures of putting up services just to put a line through. But in that context, I need your waste. I need your identification of where you see across the public sector waste, because it's hard to get people to cough up to it, quite frankly. And the economic audit process that government has underway is looking at that issue very closely, but would greatly appreciate input from the broader community as to where people are experiencing waste in the public sector. If you want to know where to dump your waste, just shoot me an email. I'm sure on our DTF website there's a customer contact email. Just shoot it through there so that we can work together to actually achieve a better structure for the state's finances. And that is one of the key policy challenges going forward. As I said, expenses have been growing very strongly. There was almost a sense of largesse during the boom years. And over the past 5 years, expenses are up 45%. That's over 5.5% each year for each and every one of us in the state. Breaking that down a little, health up 50% over that period, up by 6.3 per person. Education, 42%. Law and order up 66% over that period. That's 8.5% per person, which is fine if you get good quality services for it. So let's look at efficiency. I think it was also in the West over the weekend, quotes from the AMA saying the WA health system is lean and mean, so you know you can't cut 3%. The evidence doesn't support that, I'm afraid. The evidence actually says that we were lean and mean back in 96, 97, but through to 2004-5, having been at the front of the pack in efficiency, we actually fell to the back of the pack. Similar sort of story in education. Our teacher spends about the same, but other spend, teachers, assistants, administrative staff, is way above national averages. And so too is our spend on police. So let's hope we get better outcomes. Sorry folks, we don't. We have longer elective surgery waiting lists than national. We have Indigenous access improving nationally, deteriorating in WA. We have WA student tests amongst the poorest in the country. And we have people's perceptions of crime and safety extremely low. What does that all mean? Well, a wise person said to me about 2 weeks ago, you can't make a race car out of a Model T Ford, which caused me great distress given that I've spent the last 2 years of my life trying to make a race car out of a 1933 Ford. But the fact remains, you can do it. You can re-engineer it. And that's exactly what we need in the state's public service. We need a different model for delivering service. We need an improved model that gives taxpayers maximum value for money, maximum effectiveness. Otherwise, guess what? Our finances will not cope with it. We're much better positioned than Queensland, much better positioned than New South Wales, but there's not a lot of tolerance left around the rating agency community if we don't put in place some serious reforms. That's what the economic audit is focused on, that's what the capital audit is focused on, and the 3% is just the start to that. As I mentioned, since mid-year review, those trends in the finances, those imperatives, have merely intensified. Takeaways for 2009. There are structural policy challenges internationally. Watching them closely for appropriate responses as opposed to knee-jerk short-term responses will be the key to getting a sense of where all this is heading, whether it's a U-shaped downturn or an L. WA's economy is starting to be affected, with the financial upheaval translating into real activity, and the news will get worse. The Commonwealth has the lifting power to provide the fiscal muscle, and structure of state finances and service delivery needs rebuilding, needs modernising. The kids are good, by the way. They're pretty optimistic, and they should be, because the fundamentals of the WA economy, of this state, are very, very strong. Out of all the states in Australia, out of many developed economies around the world, the fundamentals here are good. If China wants to grow, if India wants to develop, they need energy and they need raw materials, they need alumina, they need steel. That's what we do. We don't have an ailing manufacturing car industry. We don't have an ailing textiles industry that needs constant assistance. We have the value-producing industrial structure of this country. So if I was going to be anywhere through this process, it's here in WA. The fundamentals are truly excellent. But we need to look after those fundamentals, and part of that is protecting the state's finances, because we can't give these two guys and all our kids an unmanageable level of debt burden going forward. So that's it. That's the outlook from me.